maintaining order and discipline at home with four boys and later five with my brother Jonathan's arrival. He was almost like an only child, but not quite. But maintaining order and discipline in a household with at least four sons, four boys, was certainly no easy thing for my mom, who I am convinced is probably well along the way to sainthood, especially when my father wasn't there. Mom is a patient, nurturing, loving mother, and we knew that. We knew that as boys. And as such, she was a pushover when it came to discipline as compared to my father. And Mom, forgive me, Lord, forgive me for the heartache and the fuss that we would call sometimes. But you know, especially as we got into our preteens, and you know, corporal punishment wasn't a big deal by then. And it was almost like we would defy Mom whenever we were acting up. And if we, there were, I think a couple times she had broken rulers or something across our tail, and we would say, that didn't hurt. But when Dad was home, it was a different matter. When a fight or argument would break out, or we would get a little bit too raucous and rambunctious in the house, all it would typically take would be for Dad to very sternly say, boys, that's enough. Or, Wes, stop sassing your mom. Of course, I never did that. And unless you wanted to tempt my father and what you knew was probably going to be coming, if you didn't snap to and listen, then believe me, we had the ability to just straighten up with just a word, from our Father. In today's gospel, we encounter the divine power of our Lord with just a word. With just a word in healing this nobleman's son from the Gospel of St. John, the fourth chapter. This man, this nobleman, his son is, St. John tells us, is near death. He's up in Capernaum, where Jesus' home base was for his ministry. And when this man heard that Jesus was back in the region of Galilee, he goes and pursues the Lord. He goes and pursues the Lord, and he begs him to heal his son, that his son was near death. But then there's something interesting. Jesus said to him, this is in verse 48, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. You see, there was this whole history of the people of Israel that were looking for signs and wonders as affirmation that either Jesus was divine or that it was the power of God at work. And so very often their belief, their trust was all tied up, wrapped up in the ability to see signs and wonders. And we also know that Jesus' healing ministry was a sacramental one. That is, that he incorporated the use of material things. After all, this was an extension of the very incarnation of God. God who had taken on material flesh, material humanity. And very often Jesus would use things like spittle and making mud or other tangible things. But here Jesus is involved in another kind of a sacrament. Not a sacrament through the medium of material things, but rather the sacramentality of the word, the spoken word, the verbal word. And so he challenges this nobleman, almost like an indictment. He says, unless you people see signs and wonders, you don't believe. But the man, in his love for his son, in his desperation, he just said, sir, come down before my child dies. And Jesus simply responds in verse 50, "Go your way, your son lives." And it says, so the man believed the word. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And we know that as he was going down, he was met by his servants, and his servants greet him with the great news. He said, "Your son lives. He's healed. His health is restored." And the man said, "When did that happen?" He said, "Yesterday." At what hour? And he said, "The seventh hour, 1 o'clock in the afternoon." And because it was at 1 o'clock in the afternoon that very day that Jesus said, "Your son lives," he realized the miraculous power of simply the spoken word, the word of our Lord. The word of our Lord, but the word of our Lord spoken, infused with the faith of this man who didn't need to see signs and wonders. But with just the word, the man believed. The man believed, and there's something more remarkable that happens here. As a result of the spoken word, in union with the man's trust and faith and belief that our Lord had healed, and seeing and this and actualizing the reality of this healing, not only did he come to faith, but his whole household. His whole household believed. They became people of faith with just a word. And as that nobleman responded to the word from Jesus that his son lives, this healing that is confirmed reveals to us the sacramentality of and the power of the spoken word. I taught yesterday. I was invited to go up and teach at Antiochian Village up at near Ligonier, Pennsylvania yesterday for the annual deacons retreat for our archdiocese. And one of the things that in teaching the deacons about preaching is the sacramentality of preaching. You know, in the liturgy, there's really two communions. There is the communion of the word, Christ breaking open the word to reveal himself. It is through the human voice, even in all its weakness, the human voice by which God chooses to reveal himself. And so you are hearing the word of God spoken, and it sounds a lot like Father James, because there is a divine human thing, mystery that is happening, even in preaching. And in the other part of the liturgy is the liturgy of the faithful. After communing with the word, that is the breaking open the word of life, then the bread of life is broken in the liturgy of the faithful. So there's power in this sacrament of the word. There's power in the word. With just one word from our Lord, the will of God the Father is revealed. And the power of the Holy Spirit is mediated and communicated to effect that divine will. And we see this time and time again throughout Scripture. God's will being accomplished with just a word. With just a word, all of creation sprang forth. With just a word, divine promises are communicated. And covenant is initiated. With just a word, the enemies of God are conquered. With just a word, miraculous events occur. With just a word, a whole nation of Nineveh is brought to repentance. With just a word, at the Annunciation, the will of God to become one of us is announced. And with just a word of belief and response, an acceptance from the young Mary, who with just a word said, "Be it unto me according to thy will." The incarnation happens. And she suddenly becomes the ark of salvation, the mother of God, the most holy Theotokos, with just a word. You see, there is great power in the spoken word, with just a word. And the reason is because we, as those who are created in the image and likeness of God, share this ministry, this sacramentality of the spoken word. But as fallen human beings, as those who are still trying to die to our old nature, we find that power of just a word can be also very destructive. I've said it before, the old childhood adage of sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me is patently untrue. Words, in many cases, are much more destructive than any physical violence done. With just a word, we can destroy the self-esteem of a young, developing child. With just a word, we can divide a family. With just a word, we can destroy and crush a relationship. With just a word spoken in gossip, we can ruin a reputation. With just a word, we can come against people and incite contention and malice. With just a word, we can destroy. We can crush. But we also see, in being joined in faith and belief, the power of the sacramentality of the spoken word in bringing about God's will, in bringing about and sharing in this healing ministry of our Lord. For with just a word, we can forgive. With just a word, we can ask for forgiveness with humbled hearts. With just a word, we can encourage the despairing, those living in darkness, into a place of hope, bringing them out of their despair. Perhaps with just a word, maybe even preventing somebody from committing suicide or some other act of self-destruction. With just a word, we can create a friendship or nurture a friendship. With just a word, we can bring two divided people back together. With just a word, we can be encouraged in our faith, uplifted in our faith. With just a word, God can bring healing through you and me. In our epistle lesson this morning from Ephesians chapter 5, St. Paul says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." That's important. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Because if we understand and apprehend the will of the Lord, then the words of our mouths will reflect our heart, which is aligned with the will of our Lord. And he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Listen to this. Speaking to one another. Speaking to one another. It's the word, the sacramentality of the word. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Does he say giving thanks when things are going well? Giving thanks when we're uplifted? No, he says giving thanks in all things. It's a life of Eucharistic living, even in the worst of our circumstances, even in the darkest moments of our lives, even in the sorrow and the pain that we will surely experience. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God, with just a word. With just a word, we become members. We become co-joined to the sacramentality and to the ministry of Jesus in bringing healing through speaking the word. The word who became flesh and dwelt among us, ministering his grace and his presence through our works, through our ministries. One of the things that I shared, pardon me, with the men yesterday the deacons up at Antiochian Village was concerning my own journey into ministry. And having grown up as a preacher's kid, the last thing I wanted to do was to be a pastor. And I shared with you that even though I had this mystical, I believe a supernatural experience when I was as young as 7 years old, and what I believed to be my guardian angel that audibly spoke to me at night, even though that experience had happened, into my adult years, I did not want anything to do with being a pastor. But there were other people who saw and apparently discerned that call before I discerned it or acknowledged it. And so my dad and my parents leaving one summer for vacation, I think it was July of 1994, my dad said, will you preach for me while we're away on vacation? And he kind of hounded me about it. I really didn't want to do it. And so I reluctantly agreed to do it. And I was scared. It was my home church. It was the first time I'd preached a sermon there, at least. And I got up and I honestly probably preached a pretty terrible sermon. But I got through it. And after the service was over and I was out in the narthex greeting the people, a saintly woman that some of you here in the community knew, Kate Lewis. Kate Lewis, a godly, spirit-filled woman with what I believe to be a charismatic, prophetic gift. She came up to me, and she looked at me. She grabbed a hold of my hands, and you know, she'd call me Jimmy Boy. Oh, my Jimmy Boy, my sweet Jimmy Boy. She goes, I want you to know that there's an anointing of the Lord upon you. God is calling you into the ministry. She says, I saw that anointing. I didn't just hear what you preached. I visibly saw the anointing of God upon you. And that began probably about a three-year journey. Still wrestling at times, but the seeds were planted by this godly woman, Kate Lewis. And as a result, with just a word from her, those seeds grew, and with just a word, I submitted myself to pastoral ministry in the United Methodist Church. But as you all know, after 6 years, with just a word from Father Martin Eppert, we began a journey into the Charismatic Episcopal Church. And with just a word, and seeking our next home from Father Patrick, from Father Auburn Wagner, Orthodoxy was introduced to me. And so with just a word to this congregation, we brought in Father Patrick and Bishop Thomas, who with just a word invited us into the fullness of the Christian faith, into the ark of salvation, into the ark of Christ with his apostles, into the holy Orthodox faith. And with just a word and faith and obedience, we walked that walk. We entered, and each of you are, in a sense, spiritual descendants of that sweet Kate Lewis, who 22 years ago said to me, the anointing of the Lord is upon you. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is how the power of the word can change lives, can change whole nations. Let us resolve to let the spoken word not destroy, not divide, not bring pain, but the healing, the restoration, salvation, which is available to all through the word of Christ, through the word which became flesh. Let us be faithful in speaking just the word that brings hope and life and joy and salvation to all who will respond with just a word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.